Mostly the usual stuff, including another query from the chair of the geology committee for the stratigraphy analysis Dex had been scheduled to do. There was also a personal message from Pete Connors. Wondering what the ex-astronaut wanted, Jamie went through the routine stuff, then pulled up Connors' dark, melancholy face on his laptop screen. "Got some unsettling news for you, buddy," Connors said without preamble. "According to Dr. Lee, old man Trumbull's on the warpath, trying to get rid of you as mission director. Lee's afraid the funding for the next expedition will be jeopardized if the ICU doesn't do what he wants. Not much you can do about this, I know, but Lee thought you ought to know, and I agree with him. Sorry to lay this load of shit on you, Jamie, but I think it's better that you know about it than have it hit you as a surprise." Jamie sat back in his squeaking little desk chair, and for a long time did nothing but stare at Connors' image frozen on the laptop screen. "Pete doesn't look worried," he thought. "More angry than anything else." "What do I feel?" Jamie asked himself. "Numb," was the answer. "Not angry, not worried, not even resentful. Nothing. No emotional reaction at all. It was all so far away, 100 million kilometers from anything he could touch or taste or smell. More than 100 million kilometers. So the elder Trumbull's dissatisfied with me. Most likely it's over letting Dex go out on his excursion. If they get caught in a dust storm, the old man will go ballistic. So what? Jamie thought. So he takes my title away from me. What difference will that make? He's thinking like a white man, thinking that my title is what makes me tick. He hasn't the faintest idea of how things work out here. The title isn't important. It means almost nothing. We're working like a family now, a band of brothers and sisters out in the wilderness, depending on each other, not some job description somebody wrote in an office back on Earth. He shut down the computer, then pulled himself to his feet and headed out toward the galley. A good cup of coffee, and then a good night's sleep. Maybe I should check in with Dex and Possum before I turn in. He decided against it. Their evening report had shown nothing to worry about. The fuel cells were still flat, but that was nothing new. The rover was trundling along well enough. They were making good time, in fact. As long as the storm stays below the equator, they'll be okay. Vijay and Trudy Hall were sitting at the dining table, heads together as if they were sharing some secret or gossip. Their conversation stopped abruptly when they noticed Jamie approaching. The coffee urn was almost empty. Jamie got half a cup of lukewarm decaf out of it, then the red warning light started blinking. "The rule is," Vijay reminded him from her seat at the table, "that whoever gets the last cup has to clean the urn." "I know," Jamie said ruefully. "I've gotten stuck with it often enough." Trudy excused herself and left for her quarters. Vijay got up and came alongside Jamie as he rinsed the stainless steel urn in the sink and then opened the dishwasher. It was still filled with the dinnerware.
"I'll empty it," Vijay volunteered. "You drink your java before it cools off."
"It's not all that hot to start with," Jamie muttered. As she pulled plastic plates from the dishwasher, Vijay asked casually,
"So how's it going, Mike?"
"Oh, fine. Old man Trumbull wants to fire me, but otherwise everything is swell."
"What?"
He told her about the news from Earth. Vijay's usual jaunty expression darkened as he explained what the elder Trumbull was doing.
"He can't do that," she said when he finished.
"Maybe he can."
"We won't let him. We won't accept it."
Jamie bent down to scoop the forks and spoons out of their rack. Straightening, he said, "It doesn't really matter."
"Doesn't matter? Don't you want—"
He touched a fingertip to her lips, silencing her. "I don't care what my title is, Vijay. We're here, and we're doing what we came for. Old man Trumbull can rearrange the organization charts all he wants to. It won't make any difference here."
"But he'll want to put Dex in charge."
"So what?
Don't you care?"
"Not much. In fact, if somebody else takes over the director's responsibilities, it'll free me up to go out to the canyon and have a good long look at the village."
"If the new director allows it," she said.
"How's he going to stop me?" Her eyes went wide. She stared at Jamie for a long moment, then broke into a slow smile. Jamie stood silently before her, basking in the warmth of it.
"That's better," Vijay said at last. I thought you were just going to lie down and let them walk over you.
Not very likely, he said. I'm an alpha male, remember? We alpha males don't let anybody walk over us.
He reached out his hand toward her, and she took it in hers, and together they walked back to Jamie's quarters.
Morning, Sol 56.
By golly, there she is!
Wiley Craig pointed with his right hand while keeping his left on the steering wheel. Dex Trumbull squinted into the bright morning sun. Off on the rough, crimson horizon, he saw a tall metal shape gleaming and alien-looking in the Martian landscape. The rover was plunging at top speed across a field of rocks, its spindly, springy wheels jouncing and rattling them so hard they had both strapped themselves into the cockpit seats.
"We've drifted too far north, Wiley," said Trumbull. "It's going to cost us a half a day to get to her."
Craig's bristly, bearded face was split by a big, gap-toothed grin.
"Don't care how far away she is. She sure looks pretty, don't she?"
Dex nodded and admitted, "Yeah, she sure does." The dust storm in the southern hemisphere had petered out at last, according to the previous night's weather report. Craig had expressed great relief. Trumbull, equally grateful that the storm would not hit them, played it much cooler. "Even if it had crossed the equator, we could have ridden it out."
"I don't know, Dex," Craig had said soberly. "Some of those storms last for weeks.
Not this time of year."
"Uh-huh. And it never rains in California."
Trumbull got up and staggered back toward the equipment racks near the airlock, lurching from one handhold to another while Craig steered the rover through the rock field and onto smoother, slightly higher ground. The generator took shape before his eyes, a tall, polished aluminum cylinder catching the glint of the morning sun, resting on three slim-looking metal legs, the nozzles of three rocket engines hanging beneath the vehicle's end skirt.
"Come on," Dex called from the rear of the rover module. "Goose her up a little more. Let's make as much time as we can."
"Let's not throw a wheel, either," Craig countered. "Another half hour ain't gonna kill us."
Trumbull grumbled to himself as he checked out the video monitoring equipment. The outside cameras were recording everything. Not only would the views be a bonanza for geologists studying Mars, they would be great background material for the virtual reality tours that Dex would beam earthward. By the time Craig pulled the rover to a stop next to the generator, Dex was suited up and already stepping into the airlock.
"You just wait a minute there, buddy," Craig called him. "You're not going outside without being checked out."
"Ah, come on, Wiley. I went through the checklist myself. Don't chicken shit me."
But Craig would not be put off. He checked Trumbull's suit quickly but thoroughly, then pronounced him ready to go outside.
"I'll holler when I'm suited up, and you come back in and check me over."
"Yeah, yeah."
The generator was chugging away, sucking up water from the line it had drilled down to the permafrost level under Craig's remote guidance, pulling in the thin Martian air and separating its components automatically. By the time Craig came through the airlock hatch and stepped onto the rusty ground, Trumbull had ascertained that the methane and water tanks were both filled almost to capacity.
"Okay, great," Wiley said. "Now we gotta fill our tanks."
It took more than an hour. While Craig handled the hoses and watched the gauges, Dex beamed the VR session back to Tarawa. The intrepid explorers hacking their way through the Martian wilderness have made their rendezvous with the refueling generator. On to Pathfinder. Once they climbed back inside the rover, Dex scrambled quickly out of his suit and made his way to the cockpit. A brief scan of the control panel showed everything in the green, except for the glowering red light of the fuel cells.
"We'll get that into the green, too," he told himself. "Soon as Wiley electrolyzes enough of our water to feed him."
By sundown, they were well on their way toward Ares Vallis, the generator below their horizon and out of sight. Dex was still driving, Craig in back, tinkering with the fuel cells.
"How are they holding?" Trumbull called over his shoulder.
Craig's exasperated sigh was audible even from the rear of the module.
"Leak-proof welds, my hairy butt," he groused.
"What's the matter?"
"These damn doers are supposed to hold liquid hydrogen," Craig said, kicking a booted toe on the stainless steel cylinder on the rover floor.
"Yeah?
Well, the damn welds on them leak like a sieve that's been shotgunned.